Mark chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. This is the reading of God's word. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." That ends the reading of God's word. Last Sunday, as we were delivering our love offering to the fire departments, I thought we would simply share our goods, say a few words of appreciation, and then leave. But Mrs. Stasek suggested that I pray for them. I originally did not think of praying because I thought it might be an imposition of our faith on them. But because she suggested, I thought I should. Why shouldn't they receive the blessing of our prayer? So I asked for the permission, and I pray for God's protection and blessing for them. Thank you for the wonderful suggestion. Once again, I was reminded what God would have us do is not always what I am thinking, nor is it always natural or conventional, or as the world will say, is PC. He would have us follow him even in places that may not seem natural or even welcome. But as his people, we should delight to bring our Lord to them so that the people, whether it be through the food or through prayer, they can hear and meet Jesus. Amen? Here in verse 13, when the large crowds gather around Jesus, did you notice what Jesus did? Let me read for us. Mark 2:13. Once again, Jesus went up beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. We are told he began to teach them. Interestingly, though, what did he teach? Scripture doesn't say what he taught. Scriptures like that baffles me. I want to hear what he taught. I'm sure it was an amazing teaching, heavenly bread that is coming down. I am so hungry. I just stare at those verses sometimes. What did you say, Lord? Why didn't you record it? But he didn't. And when he doesn't, our job is to shut up and move on, right? And here, instead of arguing with God, why didn't you teach? I kept reading the passage. And I learned two things from this passage that I want to share with you. First, in verse 14, what did Jesus want Levi the tax collector to do? So let's read verse 14. As he walked alone, this is Jesus, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. And then he says, "Follow me." Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Brothers and sisters, friends, life is about who to follow. The people who want to live for their happiness will follow and pursue whatever and whoever makes them happy. The people who want to be successful in this world will follow any advantages a person can find that would help them bring success. The people who want to be winners will follow whatever it takes to get them to win. The people who want a little less drama or a little more comfort or simply to be left alone will avoid or try to remove those troubles from their lives. The people who want to be loved or appreciated or respected or approved in this world will follow what they think will get them what they want. All of us, we all choose to follow what we want. The prophet Elijah asked the people to choose who to follow. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, it reads, Elijah went before the people and said, How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Probably the most disappointing sentence comes after. But the people said nothing. Oh, so disappointed at that sentence. But we'll take it up at another time on that. Returning to Mark chapter 2:14, there we see Jesus saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. What does that mean? See, the Romans had conquered Israel at this time, and they were therefore collecting taxes from the Jews. That's what conquering nations do. So for the Jews, they hated the Romans for conquering them, for taxing them, and for making their lives difficult and really miserable. But the Jews hated some people more than the Romans. And the people they hated more were the Jews who worked for the Romans. And the tax collectors were Jews who worked for the Romans. And their job was to get money from their own people and hand them over to the Romans. And whatever more they could collect, and they usually did, they could keep it for themselves, which is how many tax collectors were wealthy at this time. So here was Levi, the wealthy tax collector, who followed the money, working for the Romans, most likely cheating his own people, which the Jews hated him for. Someone like this will be hungry for love and respect and approval in this world. Therefore, it will seem natural for people like Levi to gravitate towards Jesus, who was so unlike him, so popular among the people. In verse 14, did you notice who saw the other first and who approached whom? Let me reread that verse. 2:14, Mark. As he walked along, he, Jesus, saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Jesus saw Levi first, and it was Jesus who invited Levi to follow him. When Jesus is inviting Levi to follow him, do you know what that meant? It meant that Jesus was telling Levi, stop following money. Stop following success. Stop following the ways of the world. Stop following the winners of the world, because that's what the Romans were, the winners. So he told them, stop following them, but start following me, Jesus. That's the invitation. Have you heard Jesus' invitation? Follow me. Can you stop following the ways of the world so you can start following Jesus? Will you stop listening to the ways of the world and begin submitting to God's teaching? Will you say no to the ways of the world to say yes to Jesus and his ways? How do people respond when Jesus invites them to follow me? When Jesus invited Simon and Andrew to follow me, how did they respond? Mark 1:18. At once. Oh, I love it. At once. Immediately. Pronto. Right? At once they left their nets and followed him. How did John and James respond to Jesus' invitation to follow me? Mark 1:20. Without delay, just another beautiful way to say it once, right? Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and followed him. That's Jesus. When Jesus invited Levi in our passage to follow him, follow me, how did he respond? Mark 2:14. Levi got up and followed him. Obedience without excuse, without delay, without challenge. Oh, that's a beautiful way to obey. Yeah, I see a lot of young parents tell the children, obey. And when they don't, they'll count up to three. One, two, three. You know, children are so smart. They'll never obey until you count to three. For the parents who count to three, have you ever seen children obey before the three? Never. I have much to say about this, but we'll do that another time. Obedience without delay, without challenge, without excuse. That's the way to obey. Now, what does following Jesus look like for us then today? The disciples, right? They left their fishing nets. They left their father. They followed him, literally, physically. But what about us? What does that look like, following Jesus today? The way we follow Jesus today, folks, the word obedience is important. Obedience, doing what Jesus wants us to do. Let me give you a few examples. Jesus wants us to love the sinner the way he loved us. So the people who are not very likable are the people we love with Jesus' love. That's what following Jesus means. You get it? Following Jesus doesn't mean come to church, bring your Bible, or pray before your meal. Sure, they may slightly resemble and may be helpful. But to love the way he loves, the people that he loves, let me give you a few more. Jesus wants us to forgive the people who sin against us like the way he forgave us. So we forgive the people who do us wrong. Is that even possible? That's obeying. That's following Jesus. Jesus wants his people to be kind and generous and merciful like he is to us. So brothers and sisters, we're no longer to act mean and indifferent. But we are to learn to be kind and generous and merciful with the people we meet, even strangers. One of the things I hate about our culture, like when we go inside elevator. Imagine when I become senile. You're going to be giving me all the words. I'm not senile yet, okay? What do we do when we are in an elevator, all of us? Right? Don't come into my space. Nobody says anything. Boy, we are all trapped together in this little space. At least say hi. But we're living in a culture where indifference is the norm. How are we going to exude the aroma of Christ when we don't know how to give a smile, kindness? Folks, don't be you. Don't live as you. That's not what Christians are. We are called to be more like Christ. So Josh, don't be Josh. Be more like Christ. I was talking to me actually, not to you. See, Jesus wants his people to be passionate for his glory. So we must pray to drop our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and learn to live for God's glory above all else. So dear brothers and sisters, do you desire to follow Jesus? then we must learn to obey and live the way He desires for us to live. And that means for a God to bless us to say no to my ways and to learn to say yes to God and to His ways. Rest assured, when we follow our God, He truly leads us to green pastures. He knows how to lead us well. The only question is, are we willing to follow Him only? It's never a question, would He lead well? That's always true. The only question is, are we willing to follow Him only? Not your emotion, not your temperament, not your experience, not the way you are. Oh, I'm too introverted, so I can't speak. You speak well enough with friends. Introverted, extroverted, your personality. I can't speak English well, or I don't speak foreign language well. You all know how to say hi with a smile. Smile is universal. Kindness of God to follow the Lord. Following the Lord, follow me, was the first lesson. Second then, I want us to learn a second truth from this passage. So let me take you to Mark 2:17. On hearing this, this is about why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners? Question of the Pharisees for Jesus and His disciples. Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I find Jesus' answer so fascinating here. He gives us two sentences here, which are true, but I think also unconventional. So let me divide up these two sentences and these two things that he says. One, I'll proclaim that it is really true, but the other, I want you to see how unconventional it really is. So let's do that. First, what is true? The truth is, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Absolutely, right? That's so true, isn't it? Do any of us go to see the doctor when we are healthy? No, we don't. So when we go to see a doctor, it is because we are sick. That's when we need a doctor, obviously. Jesus says that's how it also works in the spiritual world. Jesus says He is the doctor, and the sick people, He calls them sinners. So all the sinners need to see the doctor in order to get well. Unfortunately, some people think that they are healthy on their own, or as Jesus calls them, righteous on their own. They think they're okay without Jesus. In fact, many people in our world live their lives as if they don't need Jesus. Many people seek to be healthy and strong by working out, by doing good deeds, which in their mind makes them good because they have done some good deeds. See the correlation they bring. Many people think money solves all of their problems, so they work real hard to be wealthy and to be successful so they could buy everything they lack. Money solves their problems. Many people think that life is about winning, so they hate second place. For no one remembers the losers. That's what second place is. But did you know? No matter what they trust, whether it be in their health or in wealth or success or winning, did you know they all eventually die? Don't they? Do you know what it means for people to die? In other words, the question is, why do people die? Did you know death is the result of one thing? Did you know people don't die because of cancer or other illnesses? Did you know people don't die because of gunshots or knife stabbings? Did you know people don't die because of car accidents or other unfortunate happenings? People don't die because of old age or because they were too weak, or because they were evil, or because they were in a war, or because they were unlucky. God's word says people die because they failed in one thing. One thing. And what is the one thing they failed in? They fail to be cleansed from their sin. Every person, including the strongest man, the most successful and wealthiest person, including the athlete who is considered the GOAT, we all die. And why do we die? Because of our sin. Do you understand? If people don't find a way to cleanse ourselves from our sin, then it means we all die, no exception. That's why we have to remember what Jesus just said. If you are sick, then you need a doctor. And if you are a sinner, then you need a savior. Only a savior can cleanse a sinner from their sins, which means without a savior, there's no way to be cleansed from our sins. That's why Jesus came. Only in Jesus can we find a Savior who can cleanse us and save us from our sin. Jesus cleansed us from our sin because He died on that cross to pay for our sins. And He was raised back to life on the third day. He rose so that we too will rise with Him and live eternally with Him. Please, please understand and believe. Only Jesus' death and resurrection can pay in full the price of my sin and the sins of all of His people. Coming back to our passage, Levi, the tax collector in our passage, he was wealthy. He was successful. He had lots of money. He was always with the winners, the Romans. But he saw himself as sick because he saw his sin. So when Levi heard from Jesus, "Follow me," what did he do? He left his good paying job. He left following the winners, the Romans. He left the world so that he could follow Jesus. He understood and believed. Only in Jesus could he find the true doctor to heal him from all of his eternal sicknesses. Only in Jesus would he find the Savior to forgive him from all of his sins. Dear friends, how about you? Do you also see the need of a doctor? Do you also see the need of your Savior because you really see your sinfulness? Then come and meet Jesus, the only doctor, the only Savior from our sins. Now, as we close this message, I did want to give you the second sentence of that last verse that we read because it's a little bit unconventional, but you will see how applicable and necessary it really is for us. So let me take you back to Mark 2:17. On hearing this, does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." We just dealt with that. Now, as we close, we'll deal with this final sentence. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." He said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Folks, this is so against the world standard. In our world, the people we want to draw near is not the sinners, but the righteous. In our world, we love the company of winners, of success. So the bestsellers are never about losers. But it's always about how to achieve success, how to live like a winner. So whenever we are choosing a team, we never pick the people who are not very good, but always the people who can help us win. We always call for the righteous and not the sinners. But that's exactly what Jesus does, doesn't it? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Are you following? Jesus would rather associate with the losers than the winners of the world. Jesus would rather keep in company with the people who are in trouble than those who are successful. Jesus would rather eat with the sinners than the righteous. Think about that. I had to sit there a long time chewing on that. He would rather eat with the sinners than the righteous. I hate doing that. But he would rather eat with the sinners than the righteous. Folks, what do you think about Jesus? Is he plain nuts? Doesn't understand how life should be? Is he simply reckless? Simply going against the grain? Simply wanting to be different than the world's way? Or is Jesus right? And the world is wrong. Is Jesus right? Could you be wrong? Could we be wrong? Did you know if Jesus followed the world's way, then none of us would be saved? If God wanted the company of only the righteous and not sinners, then none of us would be ushered into his presence because none of us are holy on our own. None of us will receive an invitation from him because none of us will be deserving. Did you know God knew what our standing was? God knew that we will be dismissed, unqualified, and undeserving of his invitation because all of us are sinners and not righteous. None of us are holy on our own. Every one of us has fallen short of God's glory. See, God knows us. That's why he went against conventional wisdom. He went against what's natural in this world. He went against PC. Jesus did not act different to be different, but he acted differently so that he could go out of his way to save sinners who were not deserving, who will never qualify to receive an invite from God's holy, perfect standard. And the way Jesus raises a sinner who are not qualified is so beautiful, so unnatural. I call it so like Jesus. So let me draw this picture for you as we close. See, I have this picture of how Jesus raises us. Instead of pulling us from above, he enters into the filthy, miserable ditch, goes under us and raises us and puts and has, let me reread this sentence, and have us put our dirty feet on his shoulders so that we can stand on him and be raised up and out of the ditch. Now, follow me here. He could have raised us, saved us in so many different ways. He could have simply said, come out, and we will be out of the ditch, easy enough. He's got that power. He could have lowered a rope, making sure we hang on for dear life as he pulled us out, making us work for it. He could have placed a long ladder so that we would learn how long and how far we needed to climb out. He could have done all of the above, but he didn't. Because he wanted to be with us and raise us up so that only on his shoulders will we be raised. He really humbled himself to raise us up. He really came to call us. He came to eat with the sinners like you, like I. And if our God would humble himself as such, how amazing is it for us to learn to decrease? So that he will increase. God's way is truly different than the world's, isn't it? how wonderful it will be to adopt God's way than the world's. Have you heard Jesus call you, follow me? Wouldn't you rather follow Jesus than the world? Let's pray. Father, we live in a world where there are a lot of messages, so many images, celebrities, athletes, champions, CEOs, billionaires, many, many amazing, wonderful, good things for us to see, to behold. And the message we keep hearing is, follow me and we'll be successful like them. We'll be winners like them. We'll be more like them. So Lord, we work hard. We work out. We do many things to really look more like them. But Lord, I thank you. We thank you today that you didn't just tell us, yes, go ahead and follow them. But you said, no, stop following them. Follow me, Jesus. You seek the company of losers over the winners. You would rather eat with sinners than with the righteous. Oh Lord, how wrong I've been all my life. Because I like the company of righteous people, successful people, more than those sinners. I am wrong. Oh Lord, I want to humbly repent before you. And if any of my brothers and sinners and brothers and sisters are like me, help us to repent so that, Lord, we will learn to follow you and stop following the world. Thank you for the message. You taught without giving instructions, and yet through your story we learn following you is the most beautiful way. But following you means to eat with the sinners and not the righteous. May that now be, Lord, our church's direction. May that be our family and each person's new direction to follow only Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All these things we pray in Jesus' wonderful name.